today. The way that I'm in America nowadays, is that we do the kinyan on the ksuva at the chasen's tish, and we add the edim sign the ksuva in the chasen's tish. In Yerushalayim, the thing is that after kiddushin, under the chuppah, they read the ksuva, and while they're reading the ksuva, they stop, and they make a kinyan and have the edim sign. So these two menhagim go back to the Kadmonim, go back to the Mordechai and the Maribis. So to explain again, the ksuva, the chiyuvei ksuva, are achal b'shas nisun, not b'shas kiddushin. And the purpose of the, and as we said before, the chiyuvei ksuva, and as we're learning in Daf Yud Aleph, Daf Yud, the chiyuvei ksuva, irrespective of whether they rise to the Rabbanan, they're obviously chal, even without a shtar, without a kinyan. The Tesefis Ksuva, also Daf Yudim and Aleph, requires a shtar and a kinyan. But the Ksuva itself is a Chiyuv Beisdin, either a Chiyuv Deiraisa, so obviously it does not require a shtar, or a Chiyuv Beisdin. So it's going to be in place Vishas Nisuim, no matter what. However, Chazal are misaken that Chosan and Kala, husband and wife, cannot stay without a ksuva, without a shtar ksuva. So therefore, it's a chiyuv to write a shtar ksuva and give a shtar ksuva. Right? So the Eretz Yisrael to get Yerushalmi practices, probably the Mari, it's probably recorded in more of the Kadmonim, is you have Erison. Once you finish Erison, so then you write the ksuva. The ksuva reads very well. But Savi, the name of the Chassan Dinan, to the Kala, the Sultan of the Habil Yintu, right? We said, Shimei wife. And now he is Mechayv himself, the ksuva is Chayv anyways, Mechayv Tesef ksuva, and evaluates the Nidunya that the Kala is bringing in and puts a set price to it. Then the Edom come, they do a Kinyan, the Edom watch the Kinyan, the Edom then, having watched the Kinyan, are already ate a Raya. But then Chazal said, she'd have a shtar. So now they're once again being meyed b'shtar. And then they go on and say birchas nisuin, and then go on to have yichud. The American approach is, in Europe there are many different kinds of menhagim. The American approach, which is probably most of Eastern Europe and a good part of Western Europe, is that even before Kiddushin, we already prepare the Ksuva, and we do the Kinyan, and we have Edom signing on it, and then we go forward to do the Bedekin, and then the Arison. What's the basis for the different menhagim? So we have several tshuvas, Mari Weitz, Mari Bruna, that to have the ksuva done before the Arison is incorrect on two levels. Number one, the text doesn't read well, because it says that he says to her, be my wife, Havlilintu. So it hasn't happened. And it's not happening right now, because no one said the Birchas Eris Kedushin. So it's a Mechzei Kishikra, plus the Chiyuv is not Chal right now. right? Because the chid only going to be chal mishas nisuin. So that's the main concern of a mechzei kishikra. I think Rabbi Mainz points out that this is the approach. Now mechzei kishikra, Mitzvah will come across this sugya. We paskin that mechzei kishikra does not pasul shtar. Sheker pasul shtar. But mechzei kishikra doesn't pasul shtar. In other words, everybody's in agreement that the chiyuv of the ksuv is only going to begin mishas nisuin. Everybody understands if they're not going to have nisuin, there's no chiyuv. So there's no sheker over here. That's understood. It's mechzei kishikra because we're doing this shtar and this obligation even before she's in Arusa. Not in Kedushin yet. So it doesn't look appropriate, but it doesn't look like a valid shtar. But Lemaisa, it's not a sheker, and we paskin it, mechzei kishikra doesn't pasul. However, the Gemara says that when it's a shtar bezdin, so then mechzei kishikra could pasul. Now, this bezdin is held to a higher standard in their shtaros. So that's why some suggest, I remember Shechter is how he explains it, that the reason why the Kadmonim discuss mechzei kishikra in this context is because in this context, the shtar ksuva is not really a record of the obligation that the husband accepts upon himself. It's really a record of the obligation that the Beis Din imposed on the Chosan and Kal. In addition, there's also Tesefis and the Dunya. But since it's the record of an obligation that is independent of Chosan and Kal, so it may have the status of a Shtar Beis Din. It's possible. In other words, that's the ambiguous point over here. When Chazal were misaken that a chosan has to give his kal a shtar, and the kal has to be aware of the whereabouts of the shtar, so did they call this a shtar bezdin, or did they say it is a chiyah bezdin, but the shtar is a shtar that like any other shtar, so it doesn't have the standards of mechzei kishikra. So that was the preference of the. What we're calling the Rishalmi Minag, which was, again, an old Minag, which comes from the Kadmoinu. The Mordechai is the first record we have of our way we do it. And the Mordechai says, it's not a Mechzei Kishikra, because we have a din, that if a person is Mechayiv himself, and he writes down the date of the chiyuv, and their asukim ba'oisa inyan until we come to that date. Right? They write down, I think, the later date. I think that's the lashon. Chosen kodem abracha loy mechzei kishikra kebisha oiskim ba'oisa inyan. He says, it's not a mechzei kishikra because the chosan and kala, the whole gathering is involved with this issue from the time when the shtar is written until the events actually take place. So it's only mechzei kishikra if we would record and report that the wedding is taking place, and then take a break and do something else, go someplace. A day or two later. But since we're all at the wedding hall, and we're at the chosan's tish, and we're celebrating the chosan and kala, and the plan is we go from here to the chuppah, and then we go vayta, so it's not a mechzei kishikra because we've created a scenario and a situation where it's abundantly clear that what is being recorded in the shtar is expected to happen. Then we find that the Mari Mintz, in one of his tshuvas, he says that he understands that the practice has evolved to do the ksuva earlier than they usually do, because they often got married on Fridays. They're married on Fridays because that was a way of saving funds on the wedding meal, either because it restricted the number of people that could come, or because people were participated in what they would have normally spent on Shabbos. So it was, however, I'm not clear to me exactly how this works, but since Svarim point out that for cost-saving reasons, they would have the weddings on Friday. Now, we know from the very first Tosfos, the very first Omer, that the Ein Ksuva L'Tigra, that nowadays they have a set form. But until 70, 80 years ago, in Ashkenaz, they didn't have a set form. And Adayim is there, even in Sfar, they still don't have a set form. So it's often discussion how much Tosfos is going to give, how much the Dunya is going to be. Ein Ksuva L'Tigra, I said, it was part of the Ksuva proceedings, was there'll be some kind of this argument, discussion, right? So, even you're getting married on a Sunday through Thursday, you got time with the Shmuz. But when you get married on a Friday, you got to finish by Shkia. You can't sign the Shtar to Shkia. So, the Mari Mintz says that apparently, in order to make sure it would not lead to Chilul Shabbos, or they wouldn't come to Shabbos and not have a Ksuva, they bumped up the writing of the Ksuva before the Erusin, in order to avoid any form of Chilul Shabbos. So that's one that seems to be clear that seems to be the basis for, or one of the basis, as the Mordechai was saying, don't remember Mechsek Yishikra. But what was the purpose of making it earlier? So the Mari Mind suggests that was the purpose, and the Shmuel Eliezer Stern, he's one of the Talmidim of Rav Vosner, that's all. He was probably the mainstay of Rav Vosner's Beis Hayroch. He suggests that possibly another reason why we would Minhag Ashkenaz has bumped it up is because once Minhag Ashkenaz collapsed Erusin and Nisun into one event, right? We did it all at the same time. And once we decided to do the Erusin under the Chuppah, so it's very possible that Erusin and Nisun happened simultaneously. Right? In other words, in our minds, we think that we have Erusin by giving the Tabas, then we take a break and read the Ksuva, then we have the Sheva Brachas, and the Sheva Brachas are in preparation for the Nisuin, which is the Yichud. And Edim are holding Mari for the Yichud room. That's the normal course. However, we probably pointed out in the past that our actual practice is, why are we doing the Erusin under a chuppah? Because the chuppah was once a minhag of Nisuin. The bedekin, the chuppah, the marching, everything else which happens at the wedding ceremony were different minhagei Nisuin. The bedekin was once a minhag of Nisuin, marching the chassan down, marching the kala down to the chassan was once a minhag Nisuin. Standing under a chuppah was once a minhag Nisuin. So even though we are still being soimech on the yichud to be the primary minhag Nisuin, but we do all sorts of other minhag Nisuin at the same time. Why is that? L'aniyus da'ati, that was probably the genius of the Ramah and the Chachamim at that time, is that in order to get one particular wedding ceremony for Klal Yisrael, they had to involve all the different minhagim. In other words, if you're not going to do my minhag, so I'm sticking with my minhag. Right? I'm not going to. I got married in the chuppah. Right? Grandparents, your grandparents. I'm having a chuppah. Right? So you want to do yichud? You do yichud for your baal matzah. I'm doing chuppah. Right? And those who always did yichud will do yichud. Also did the marching. And those who always did the public meal. But if I'm going to have a chuppah anyways, no. It's a chuppah before bruch, after bruch. Nothing's a big deal. But as long as I have a chuppah. So apparently that worked. So now the question is, how do you interpret what's happening? On Nias Daiti, I think the way what's happening is that we are doing all sorts of interesting minhagim, but Yichud is the Maisa Nisun, and the Brachas before the Yichud. Because that's Taka the Din, that one shouldn't have Yichud without the Brachas, and one shouldn't have Yichud without the Chuppah, without the Ksuba. So, and our practice is to appoint Edim for the Yichud. So that's the way I think we look at it. Nevertheless, facts are that we're doing all sorts of mice and nisuns all over the place. Right? We even do a mice and nisun before we do the kiddushin. So the question is raised by Poskim, is there any significance to nisuin before kiddushin? Now, l'chari nisuin can't be chal before kiddushin. Right, just be a mukudesh. However, you could have a situation where the moment the kiddushin achal, so now the fact that I did a mais nisuin in the bedekin room 40 minutes ago, so maybe that makes it into an arusa nisua, or it's certainly conceivable to say that right now we're under a chuppah, and that's the midik nisuin. So b'shas kiddushin, bang, we're going to have nisuin right away. Again, I don't think that's our common understanding. Because we do the brachis right afterward, but that's conceivable. So the Rav Elazar Stern suggests that maybe that was one of the motivations to bumping up the kesuva with the chasimus and everything, and the kinyanim all being done before the kiddushin, because there is a machlokes when we say. When we say that a chosan and kala cannot have yichud without a ksuva, so there's a machleg to show what that means. Does that mean they can't have chayi ishus without ksuva? Or means that mamish can't have yichud without ksuva? Or does it mean they can't have a mais and isu without ksuva? Right? So we paskin, they can't have chayi ishus without ksuva. There are many who say they can't have mamash yichud without ksuva. And and we're choshesh for that position because we always make sure the ksuva is in place before yichud. But since there are those who say that they can't have a mais and nisuin without ksuva, and since the mais and nisuin may happen right at the moment of the erusin, so Shmuel Eliezer Stern suggests that that may be another motivation. For the minig of the word, saying the minig of the Mordechai. There wasn't even a minig in Presburg to do the ksuva after the Birchas Erison and before the giving of the Tabas. It's a strange minig. They would say the Birchas Erison and then they wouldn't do anything and they would then take care of the ksuva, and then they get the tabas. Right? What's the biggest problem of that is? It sounds like a hefsek. Made the Rav Zerison. It was a minig, the common minig in America. If you look carefully at the wedding ceremonies, when an older rav does the seder kiddushin, he will very often make the birchas kiddushin erison, and then he'll call up the edim then, and. Then he'll have the new do the tabas. And the younger rabbanim call up the edim first, appoint the edim, and then do the birchas erison. The younger rabbanim are concerned about the having teichef, having not being mafsik between the bracha and the nesinas tabas. And I guess the older rabbanim are concerned to make sure that. the appointment of the Edim is juxtaposed in the Sinas Tavaz. And they see it's not a hefsek, it's all part of the same Maisa. Shechter has written articles over the years defending both positions. So, but this minig Preshburg is very jarring, because what they would do is make the bracha, then they would read the ksuva, sign the ksuva, right? Then they would call, I guess, the call of the Edim, and then do the Sinas Tavaz. So Shmuel Ezer Stern says, maybe it could be justified in this way, that since at the moment of the giving the tabas under a chuppah, so she'll become an arusinus right away, so she has to have the ksuba in place. He said, that might be an idea. He asked Rav Vosner once about this minug. So Rav Vosner said that he got married in Freshburg still. He said, that's what they did at my wedding. But he didn't advocate. He said he told them that they shouldn't practice this approach. They should do one of the other approaches. What were you going to say?
I was just asking if it's if the chuppah is a minhag for us, but that means that it was actually halacha for them, right? Meaning like 100 years.
At some point, yeah. Yeah. Go ahead.
Wait,
was there a yichuna? They had to have a ma'ase nisuin.
And then how can we transform from halacha to a minhag?
Historically, apparently, it was that when Eris and Nisun were separate, so people were invited for a Mais and Nisun, right? And the ceremony then was that they simply came to watch the Chassan and Kala go under the chuppah. I'm assuming that they would come together and they would say Birchas Nisun, and then they would watch the Chassan and Kala come under the chuppah. Right, the way that we do the yichud room, so they did chuppah. Right now, how can we take halacha and do? And so, the question is a good question. The answer is that it's unclear from the Gemara exactly how one does nisuin. Right, the Rambam defines nisuin as kenisa labayis. But it's clear that it's a symbolic nisa labayis. There was one of them in Hagen Yisuin was to actually dance Chosan and Kala to their apartment. That was one of the, and watch them go into their apartment. Right? Like the non-Jewish concept of carrying the bride over the threshold. Right? So watching that was one minute Yisuin. But that was probably also that may have taken the Knesset Levayis Mamish Kipshute, but Knesset Levayis was always a symbolic act. Even the Yichud room, being Mesiached, so you could say, well, it's not symbolic because now they become Mutul Mesiached, right? You could say that, you could argue that, but it seems that even that was a symbolic act of Knesset Levayis because they weren't being Mesiached in their home. So, since Nisuin, since the best way to define Nisun is some masa, which indicates Knesset Levayis, so apparently any minig could satisfy that requirement. So covering one's wife's hair, so that's making her into a Nisun, she's Mechiyas B'Kisui Rosh, right? Or the Chosan and Kala being marched by their parents to each other. So that's I think, the answer to the question. Now, Lamaisa, we have adopted the most articulate of all the Minhagin Yisuin, except for actually going to the house, which has its own impracticalities. Right? So we've adopted the one that is the most concrete of all the Minhagin. So what I'm thinking is that once we've adopted the symbolic action, which is the best symbol, so then everything else. So then, it's unnecessary to do anything else. All right? It's Moshel. Moshel Dabar Doime is where Moshe's Shita in Sfiras Omer, in the Avelus. Since the Avelus of Sfira is all the same idea, get 33 days of Avelus, so you can switch with Hagar. So it's probably a similar kind of idea. I did have an interesting event happened to me several years ago. The next part of our conversation, either today or next week, is what's the din if the ksuva is dated on a different date than the wedding? Right? If they get married, get married around Shkia time. So I've always tried to avoid that, even if it means doing the ksuva under the chuppah. So I've often done that. So once when I was planning to do that, and the chassan was from my neighborhood, and the kala was from Chicago. So the family of the kala was either talmidim or davin was Rabbi Forrest, the Talmud of Rabbi Moshe. He's an important place in Chicago. So he was very uncomfortable with that. He thought it was a shinui minhagim. And he preferred that we just wait rather than do the ksuva under the chuppah. So I always was wondering about that. At first I thought, Rabbi Moshe writes, when you do something out of convenience, it's not a minhag. And Rabbi Moshe writes that many Jews now on the Kabbal Shabbos at 7 o'clock. Right. He says, that's not a minhag, right? But it's convenient because you want to have a meal earlier. So something that's born out of convenience is not a minhag. So I thought that since I was doing something out of convenience, it would not be shini minhag. It's not exactly what Rav Moshe writes. But it's interesting that when you go through the Svarim, I can see what he was saying. He was saying Yoy said it was a mari mince against the Mordechai, and it was a machlokes as to whether this is mechzei kishiku aksuv meisinyan. Rav Moshe held strongly in another tshuva that for another reason that this is not an example of a sukin meisinyan. So the major defense of the Mordechai, according to Rav Moshe, no longer applied, which could be another reason why he may not have wanted this practice. Yeah, go Yechil. Most recent chasim. I'm going to make you nervous.
So maybe, let's say someone didn't do either the Bedekin or whatever.
100% married. Very often in Zivik Shani we don't do Bedekin.
So what is like?
Yichud. Our bare bones marriage is Nesinas at Tabas and Yichud. Let's say, wouldn't it be a chuppah? If they didn't do yichud, so then, but they did the chuppah, not the yichud. We would probably want them to do yichud. We would probably be soymech on the fact that they're going home and there's an anansada that they're going to have yichud later on, like the Tosfos and Tesson off the bottom. So we'd probably say mech on that, and that non side of having yichud then. Yeah. What was that?
What was a chuppah nida?
And
aren't they not allowed
to have
yichud? Then you
can't be so mech. Right. That's a good ori. Right. Whenever a woman is a nida, which doesn't happen so often now, it would happen very frequently in years ago. So then they wouldn't have yichud, right? So then the nisuin was the part of the chuppah. Yeah.
And they wouldn't do the chuppah. I know what I mean.
Then they would still have to do nisuin. Yeah. Right. You hear it, Yechiel. He's saying that then by chuppas nida they didn't have yichud. So then it would be semech and the other mice in nisuin.
What about the
rikas nisuin?
If it's
so the birchas nisuin can be done any time from the Nisuin, from the from the Nisuin, even can be done through. I'm not sure if through days of. Let's say people got married and they didn't have these days. For some reason, they didn't say Birchas Nisuin. Couldn't find a bencher. Right? They got married and they couldn't find. They couldn't say Birchas Nisuin. Or they. Or they forgot one of the Birchas Nisuin, so you can say it. The only thing I don't know if you can, once you've had a Sudas Shema Brachas and you've said the Bracha Nisuvah, I don't know if you can say it in him after that. But you can certainly say through the Yemei Shema Brachas.
But if they were said under the Chuppah,
yeah,
but there was no Yichud, so the Brachas aren't Chal and the Yichud, that they're in that.
No, but I assume the Chal with the Chuppah. Chuppah is a Ma'aseh Nisuin also. I assume with a... Then they... It could be retroactive Bedekah.
There's no reason to be Makbid on not being Mafsik between...
If Shechter likes to be Makbid and not being Mafsik between the Birchus and the Yichud. In other words, he discourages a lot of... familial hug and kissing under the chuppah, but and I would say lemasa, one's not going to entirely restrict it. So whether there's a hefsek of 5 minutes or 7 minutes, and there's going to be a hefsek because of the dancing, so it's hard to get worked up about the lachar because there's going to be some hefsek anyways. The question is worth offending one's future mother-in-law. When it's going to be hefsek anyways. Not sure. Then Rav Moshe Elizabeth Shmuel says it could be another reason why we've adopted the practice to do the ksuba before. And again, the point is that doing the ksuba before, what we do is a strange thing. The Yerushalmi thing is the normal thing. That should be the Kanamayim did as a normal thing. Because why are we doing the Ksuva before the Kiddushin? Why are we saying Haviat Le'intu when it didn't happen yet? So he said it could be for another reason, and that is that the problem of the dating. In other words, if the Shtar... If the shtar, here is explaining why we do the kinyan before. He says to prepare the shtar earlier. You understand? That saves time. But why are we doing the kinyan before? Why are we doing the kinyan under the chuppah? Why not wait till she's a mekudeshes? So he says that could be for timing purposes. Because if the shtar is dated on the earlier date, right? If the shtar is dated on Monday, and they're going to get married after Shkia Monday night, so then the shtar carries the Monday date, but Al Pidin, they're getting married, let's say, after Shkia on Tuesday. So then the shtar is a shtar muktam. Shtar muktam is a shtar posel. Right? What's a shtar muktam? Shtar muktam means a shtar that has the date of the previous day. So why is the shtar muktam apostle? Right. And what does the shtar do for you? That you can now go to any property that has been sold after the date of the ischayavus. For example, let's say I lend you $1,000, right? And then we have a shtar that I lent you $1,000 this afternoon. But I really only lend you $1,000 tonight. And now between this afternoon and tonight, you, who borrows the money, sells property. Right? So you sell property to Shimon. Now, I cannot go after that property, because when you sold that property, there was no lien against that property, because I didn't do the halva yet. Right? So if you do a title search, you'll find that there's no lien against the property, which there isn't, and I cannot, I the malva cannot go after that property. However, I have a shtar that says that we made a deal Tuesday morning. So my shtar says that I do have a lien against your property, right? So since my shtar will allow me to collect property that is really not coming to me, so that shtar, the shtar posel, chazal posel, the shtar muktam. Right? A shtar mucher is not a posel shtar, because a shtar mucher does not give me any new rights. A shtar mucher means creates a liability for me. But a shtar muchtam gives me rights that are not correctly mine, and a shtar muchtam harms a possible a possible zayach that he's going to end up buying property where there's no lien against the property, but I'm going to show there is a lien against the property. So Chazal said shtar muchtam is possible. So now if we write the ksuva before, let's say we write the ksuva on Monday, and the wedding takes place Monday night after Shkia, after Tzei, so make it easy. So the Kala now has certain rights. She can collect. With a shtar, she can collect from the kuchos. So if I sell a piece of property by the chosnstish, right? If I sell a piece of property by the chosnstish, So that property, this should be no lien against that property. But the kala is a predated ksuva, so now she'll be able to collect from that property. So that makes the shtar posel. Even if she never goes after the property, shtar posel. Shtar moves from the shtar posel. So if the ksuva carries an earlier date than when the chiyah was made, so then that ksuv is possible, and all the problems having possible ksuv are in place. Right? So, one of the approaches is to do the kinyan on the same date as the ksuva, which is what will always happen in the American minhag. Sitting by the chosnstish, clearly still Monday. Right? We write a shtar that says Monday. Right? So now we do a kinyan on Monday. So I am being mechayiv myself to the kalav. I can accept an earlier chiyiv. Right? Chazal say I have to mechayiv myself by the nisuin. No, I'm a tzaddik. I'm mechayiv myself all the chiyuv and nisuin even before she did mehudeshes. So that might be another reason why this practice evolved. Mm-hmm. Go ahead, Sammy.
You made a mention before about the actual kinyan of the ksuba happens after
the
shtar.
Doesn't
give over
the that's a separate question. The pashtus is that the ksuba is a shtar raya.
Right,
and not a shtar kinyan. That's a separate question of whether you need to have Adam watch the Mesiris Aksuba. Right? So the comment of, so until recently, there was never a requirement, no one asked the Adam to watch the giving of the Ksuba. Why? Because the Ksuba is a Shtar Raya. So, the fact that she has the Shtar is a Raya. Alright? And then, sometime, probably in the last, beginning of the 1970s or so, 1960s, that's when more and more Rebbeim were asking for Eide Mesira of the Shtar. And that's when the briskers would always snicker and say, yes, and Amoritz, what you're talking about is the Shtar Raya, that is a request of Eide Mesira Shtar, only the Shtar Kinyan Davis, as Rechaim Zvart. And it's only, it's true that Rav Chaim and the Rambam had this halacha. The Arvi Shoinim will say that even in Eid, there can be Eid in Mesir L'Gavish Daraya. So that's a... and then it would probably happen, as far as I understand, either the reason why more and more Rebbeim are being makbid on Eid in Mesir for the Ksuba, which is an innovation. It's either because of the Rishonim will hold that a Shtar Raya can also benefit from Eidei Mesira, right? And the Machlokes of Eidei Mesira Nechsim Akarsi is that only by Shtar Raya or by Shtar Raya, or it's because of Mrs. Zalman Meltzer of the following blitz. Mrs. Zalman Meltzer was Aaron Cutler's father-in-law. He was a Rosh Hashiva in Kletsk. And then he became the Zekan Rosh Yeshiva, part of the world, but in Yerushalayim. He was a Talmud of Reb Chaim, but he veered away from Reb Chaim's Mahalach. So you'll find in the Eben Ozel many, many brisker approaches, but primarily Mahalach led a brisker approach. This is Amon Meltzer. He was he lived in Yerushalayim, Batei Broida. Batei Broida is in between Machane Yehuda and Shaarei Chesed. We still know the building he lived in. He didn't write any svarim, and then his wife said it's time you should write a sefer. So he said, "But I have to write that. No big chidushim." Right. So his wife said to him, "He said, I said just next time you have a chidush, you write one chidush down." He'll want a chiddush in French from me. So he said, okay. So once he wrote one chiddush, then he realized he had more to write. So then he got six volumes, I think, of the. So this is on the following blitz. He said, we paskin that by shtaris you don't work with shows. Right? In other words, if I have a shtar, I lend you money, and we write a shtar in that. So I lend you money at 11 o'clock in the morning. We don't write 11 o'clock in the morning. Right? When you hear, when you listen to Ksuva, it says, V'echem HaShabbos, right? We don't say what time. That's our minhag. We don't write shoyis inside the shtar. So Islam said, once you don't write shoyis in the shtar, so then when is the shtar? Then the shtar is going to create the chiyuv only by shkia. I can never prove, if I lend you money, so I can only prove that the chayuvs began with shkia that day. So now my lien against your property is going to be limited to Shkia that day. Right? It's also not right. Because what happens if I write a shtar, if I lend money at 11 o'clock in the morning, and then at 2 o'clock in the afternoon, the loiva sells property. So mitzad adin, I have first rights that property. Right? When the guy bought it, there was a lien against the property. I have no way of proving it. Because my shtar will say Sunday. So the lekeach will say Sunday is till Shkia. I bought it before Shkia. The year his chayv only began by Shkia. But the emes is not like that. The emes is it began earlier. So Rabbi Zalman said, therefore every shtar should really have Eidei Mesira in order to ascertain when the Chiyuv is with Nichal. So that was Rabbi Zalman's blitz. That was his chiddush. That in order for a shtar to be a fully effective shtar, in order for the Kala to have the full rights of the Ksuva, right, she should have, there has to be some rise when it took place. Otherwise, the Chosid could sell some property and the chosim could sell property, and the kala will not have the full rights of the shtar. So I'm not sure the exact nusach of Zalman said. I'm not sure if he said bechlal v'shtar, if he said that since chazal or mesakein that you have to give a shtar ksuva, so the shtar ksuva has to represent the full weight of the chiyuv ksuva. I'm not sure exactly made the nusach, but that was his blitz, and therefore he said you have to have eidei mesira so that the kala will not get chipped out of her full shiva. So even though it's a chiddush, and apparently for centuries they weren't chayshish for this blitz of Rabbi Zalman. Maybe I'm not sure what the teretz is. The teretz probably is a chazal or mesakein that we only have to give the kala the rights that begin by shkia. I don't know, but out of covet for Rabbi Zalman, it became very commonplace to have eidei mesira. I saw in the Moshe Sternbach, has a more elaborate approach. He suggests a new approach. Mechudishtik approach. I haven't fully understood it. He has a suggestion to answer one of your questions. He says that the way we do things nowadays, where the nisuin is chal, could be chal. I don't think this is necessarily correct. Nisuin is chal mishas yichud. Right? But when we learn the sugya of nisuin, of chuppah, so we'll discuss whether chuppah requires das or not. So if chuppah doesn't require das, it could mean the chuppah is chal by itself. If chuppah is chal by itself, so then, and if nisuin is chal by itself, then it stands to reason that by standing under a chuppah, b'shas kiddushin, the nisuin will be chal by itself. If that happens, so when he raised the questions that the brachos are going to be liachar ma'isa, not kodem ma'isa. All right, but the evidence can be liachar ma'isa. He suggested that perhaps the having the ksuva ready and then giving the ksuva under the chuppah, that was the way that once they collapsed all of these minhagim, that's the way that they said no, the chuppah should not be a ma'isa nisuin in and of itself. Hear the logic, right? And we collapsed all the minhagim. So now what's happening is you're nisuin, you're doing all forms of nisuin. So they're all happening. All right. So you say you can't have them before kiddushin, fine. But once you give the tabas, bang, she's a nisuin, she's under the chuppah. So how can you prevent that from happening? All right. Apparently, Klaus wasn't worried about it. All right, for whatever reason. So Rav Mishnah said, maybe what they thought is the following. He wrote a ksuba. The ksuba is only chal b'shas nisuin, right? So you're holding on to the ksuba, and you haven't given the ksuba yet. So that means that's your way of saying nisuin hasn't happened yet. Because if nisuin happened already, she has to have a ksuba for nisuin. Right? So, in order to clarify that the bedeket is not a ma'isa nisuin, and that the chuppah is not a ma'isa nisuin, the real ma'isa is yichud. We're holding off on the and giving the ksuva till after the ma'isa. After, so if that's the case, so then it could be that the mesiras haksuva becomes like a ma'isa nisuin, and then it should evade. I even saw people who are makbin. Some even told me Mishim Ravaran looks at itself to have aided by the Bedekin. Was that?
I've seen that before.
Yeah, so that's also the same idea, because since the Bedekin is a Mice and Nisuin, so then I don't understand the Bechlau. I don't understand Bechlau. Because you don't want the Nisuin to happen before the Kiddushin. So why? And he probably held that there's a way of having, since it's a Mice and Nisuin, should have aided him. But there's a way of making sure that it's not chal till later on. I don't know. I'm not sure. All right. So what did we accomplish today? We discussed the shtar ksuva. So we know the shtar ksuva has to be in place. It's a din derabbanon before nisuin. It has to be in place before chai ishus, maybe before yichud, or makim before yichud. All right. And we do it before the mice and nisuin. And there are two separate menhagim that are extant. One is to leave the mice ksuva, everything, the kriyas ksuva, obviously, but even the reading of the ksuva with the edim and the kesef and the kinyan and the mesira, all after she's in a rusa already. Why are we doing before she's in a rusa? She's not a. Doesn't make sense to do a ksuva before a rusa. That's the minhag Yerushalmi. Have kiddushin, and then they read the ksuva. Everybody's listening. The chosin, the kal is listening. The edim listening, and then they come to the point where it says, "We made a kinyan. We haven't made a kinyan yet." So then they stop, they make the kinyan, finish reading the ksuba, and then they sign, and they give the ksuba. Alright? Our minhag is a little bit strange. Our minhag is, we write the ksuba before she even make an arusa, then we make a kinyan. Then we hold on to it. Then we read it. Read it in order to have a break, because there's nobody to read it. If you read it before you sign, there's a reason to read it, because you have to know what you're signing. But over here, why read it? Why read this? For us, it's so strange. You're reading Alamonis element under the chuppah. Why? That's to give a break between Kedushin and Eris. And then, we do Mesiris HaKesuvah. Where did that come from? So it came from the Mordechai. So as we explained, several possible reasons. Either because Mordechai wasn't a problem because of Sukkim Bayis Inyan. So it's not a Mechzei Keshikra. Or because of the Chashash of Chilul Shabbos. Or because the Nisuin was maybe Chal Mamash B'Shas Erison, or because of the concern that the date may end up being a Shtar Muktum, so therefore we do the Ksuva and the Kinyan all in the earlier time. That really justifies why we do the Kinyan earlier. Okay, so maybe next time we'll discuss what happens if you're running late. What do you do? Can you have a ksuva that's written on the earlier day? What do you do with the Shtar Muktam ksuva? Okay.